following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Golick, what you watching?
Film from last year's big game.
That doesn't look like San Francisco and Baltimore. Looks like a bunch of us sitting around in your living room.
Exactly. I had the nanny cam going during my party.
You have a nanny?
No. I have a deep commitment to film study, though. It's all about getting better. Last year, I ran out of Johnsonville sausage in the third quarter. Can't let that happen again.
Oh, I remember. Seems like you had plenty of Johnsonville brats going in your brat hot tub.
I know. Plus, I made that chili with Johnsonville Italian sausage. You ate three bowls. See for yourself? Tape doesn't lie. So this year, I'm adding my secret weapon, new Johnsonville meatballs.
Johnsonville makes meatballs?
They're new. Found them in the freezer section. With those babies in the crock pot, we'll have enough food to get us through double overtime.
That's yet another shining example of how studying film during the week gets you ready for Sunday.
Precisely. Find these and other delicious game day ideas at Johnsonville.com.
Johnsonville, served with pride since 1945.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good Monday morning to you, day after the Super Bowl. And if you've got a lot of orange apparel at your house, you're probably wearing black today is what is probably happening. Seattle with a easy win yesterday, 43-8 over the Denver Broncos. Of course, you know, I had Denver, Doug had Denver, but we did bring in somebody that knows what they're talking about. That would be Jim Langan. Jim, you said the Seahawks would win it, and you kind of knew from the word go that they were probably going to be able to come away with the win yesterday. First play from scrimmage, you get the safety, and then everything just kind of unraveled for Denver from that point on.
Yeah, you're right. That I mean, no one would expect it. I mean, if you got 30 points, you definitely would have took Denver for sure. Somebody said, "Hey, I'll give you 30 points." I'm all over yeah. Denver, you know. So, but what can you say? And that happens in athletics every once in a while. That you lose the momentum, and then if you don't make a play in the first quarter, or something good happens to you in the second quarter, if nothing good happens to you, you don't get any momentum. I thought the game ended when Denver went for it when it was 22-0 in the second quarter, and the coach decided to go for it. I would have kicked the field goal and got a little points on the board.
Yeah.
It's a professional football game. You don't know what's going to happen. You look back, it probably wasn't going to make any difference, but it does stop that momentum, and that's what you got to get stopped. You got to have something good happen to you, and whether it's 22-7 or 22-3, I mean, the momentum, you've gained something, you got something to go on at halftime. Where if you're down 22-0, you kick off, now you're down 29-0, game match points.
Yeah, well, it was 22-0, and I'm with you, when they didn't kick and didn't get the 3 points, it's one of those things, you get the touchdown, if you got the first down, moved and scored and that sort of thing, it just have an entirely different vibe than what you had. And to me, it was just an indication, once Denver fell behind, they started doing some things out of character that end up hurting them. I mean, because there was about three times they could have kicked field goals pretty easily. There's another 9 points because they didn't get a first down on any of those. There's another 9 points. The second half kickoff, you have Matt Prater, and instead of drilling the ball through the end zone and just setting up the touchback and that sort of thing, hey, let's do that high kick. Maybe we'll get a funny bounce, and maybe we can get the ball at about the 15, 18-yard line. Maybe something will happen positive. I don't think, and I don't watch a lot of Denver games because I'm not a Bronco fan, but I can't imagine they've done that a whole lot this year, instead of just kicking it deep into the end zone.
Well, the difference, too, I mean, and this is really interesting. I'm, you know, head coaches in the NFL make decisions, and some of the decisions they make are based on, hey, I've got to do what's best for the team. I cannot get into the emotion of the game. And it was when the score was 2-0, and Seattle has 4th down and 6 inches at the 9-yard line, they kick a field goal. And then they got the ball inside the 5. And they kick another field goal. It's 8-0. It would have been really easy to want to go for that, for a touchdown on that. But, you know, you're just continuing to go, hey, you know, hey, it's 2. Now it's, you know, because if you're up 8-0, the other team gets up 14-8, you're right back in it. I mean, you're only one possession away from the game. So even if a couple bad things happen, you still haven't killed yourself, you know. So I thought the Seattle just took what they had coming and said, hey, here we go. I'm going to, you know, hey, this is what the game dictates. This is what happens. We didn't get the first down. We've got to kick the field goal. We need to punt. We're not going to turn the ball over. And like you said, out of character. Denver did some things out of character. But I was really disappointed when they didn't kick that field goal down 22-0 late. And it's an NFL game. It's an NFL football game. I mean, a lot of things can happen. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and you're absolutely right in that they decided to kick, get the points. And I think that's the decision you make when you're ahead. When you're behind, you feel like you got to make something happen. You start pushing a little bit, and then that's when you really set yourself up for it being a huge mistake when you don't get what you're looking for. Because I'll also say this, if they'd gone for it that first time they had it 4th and inches and they don't get the first down, the second time they probably would have gone for it again. And now, if that happens, as poorly as Denver plays, they're only down 2-0. And by the way, when they were down 8-0 at the end of the first quarter, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? They're still in this game. And when the quarter changed, it was after a turnover, and Seattle was beginning to drive. Even when they fell down 15-0, I'm like going, you know what? As bad as they played, they're still in this thing. You know, and it just never got any better. And with a field goal stopping that momentum, that might have gone a long way.
And, you know, and we could be, you know, honestly, you know, the more I talk about it right now, we're talking about a game that's 43-8. And we're second guessing somebody that didn't try a field goal and it was 22-0. I mean, hey, I got news for you. Hey, maybe it wasn't in the cards, and maybe these things aren't that big of a deal. But I do know this. I do know most NFL coaches that have lasted and coached for a lot of years will take the points in very important games. They do not go for it. This isn't a high school football game. This is the NFL. And it's sometimes it's not that easy to get 1 yard. You know, it's not that you just don't hand it to the best running back you got and have him run a sweep. And the other team's got good players, too, and Seattle definitely has them. And anytime you can get points on them, you better grab them.
Well, to me, what this game all hinged on was the Denver defensive line could not keep Manning clean. He got hit every time he threw the football. A couple passes were deflected. A couple times when he had an open look, he still underthrew it because he threw it off the mark because he was always being rushed. I mean, they hit him so much, it was borderline elder abuse. You know, I mean, because it was, wow, they really came after him.
Yeah, the Denver offensive line, you're right. The offensive line for Denver did not protect well enough. And I think anybody that talked to Seattle, anybody that played Seattle, anybody that ran the ball against Seattle cannot believe how fast the entire defense is. This is a team defense. This is not one player that somebody looks at and they just go, hey, this is the best guy in the NFL. This is the best guy. This is a Hall of Fame type thing. It's a team defense, and defense continues to win in the NFL. I will say this, the quarterback, if I'm a quarterback and I'm trying to go in the draft this year, I'm an NCAA quarterback, and I'm trying to go into the draft. I like what I saw when I see this quick, shorter quarterback running around and making plays. That's got to help the stock of Johnny Manziel and people like that in the NFL, because there for a while we were going with these drop passes that are 6'5", 6'6", and those were the guys that were winning in the NFL, and they didn't have to run very well. They just had to be able to throw it, and we were going to protect them. And those guys can still win, but we are in a new era now where the quarterback is a little more dimensional, where he could run for the first down too, which just scares the heck out of you. And if people that look back way back in the 1970s, and Fran Tarkenton was that type of a quarterback where he could at least scramble for it. But, you know, these quarterbacks that have made a living and made a lot of money right now are drop back passers that are about 6'4", 6'5", and can see over big offensive linemen. But now we're getting to see some quarterbacks, and when I say small quarterbacks, we're still talking about guys that are 6'6", you know, but are able to make plays and to see the field and to run out of the pocket and have that potential to run for a first down. And those guys are probably have helped those quarterbacks in the draft, you know, move up their stock.
It seemed like for a while there, you had to be 6'4", 6'5" before they even look at you, you know, in terms of drafting you as a quarterback, especially in the early rounds. But that really has changed. And you're absolutely right. I remember Fran Tarkenton in the 70s, about 1980s, kind of when he was at the end of his career. And then a few years later, you know, Montana would run a little bit, you know, not the same level, but. For Tarkenton, he always ran around. I don't remember him having too many rushes where he went past the line of scrimmage. I mean, he would scramble, it seemed like forever, before he threw the football in a lot of cases. You know, Archie Manning did the same thing. He was a scrambler and then would eventually throw it. The next guy that was really an elite quarterback that actually would run past the line of scrimmage, in my mind, was Steve Young. You know, you had Randall Cunningham as well, but as far as really having a team that he led to championship level kind of play was when Steve Young was doing that. And now it's kind of back. So whatever is old is new again. And I'm with you. I think Manziel is going to get a lot of looks because of the success that Russell Wilson's had.
You know, another thing, too, you look at, like, if you're a draft pick and you're early, you know, the Carolina, the Cam Newton, the people like that, you know, sometimes their offensive lines aren't great. So you are running for your life. And you are running. If you're out, you're trying to buy some time. You know, so, you know, I think Denver, when they got Manning, they knew they had to have a good offensive line. They had to do something to protect him. He had to get rid of the ball in a hurry. And this is probably the first time in quite a few games where, you know, the offense could not protect him, give him that opportunity to do that. Yeah. And that was pretty much the ball game right there. That just one little thing, if you can't get that done, game match point.
Yeah, and Manning chose the Broncos just as much as the Broncos chose Manning as well, because he had some other options out there, including my favorite team, the Dolphins. And the simple fact of the matter is, the offensive line in Denver was a lot better than what the offensive line was in Miami, some other options that he had to go to. And I think he understood that he's not going to be that guy. He's got a quick release, and he knows where to go with the ball. I mean, before snap, he has a great idea where the ball is going to go. So, I mean, he can release it pretty quickly, but you still need a little bit of time. And I've noticed as he's aging, that release is a little bit slower. He's got to wind up a little bit more when he throws it. And at the end of a great career, he just wasn't in a situation. He needs a little bit more help, and that offensive line did not help him out at all.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, we're looking at a team that was 15-3, and they beat, and they played another team that was 15-3, and it might have been Seattle's day. And I don't think that was the case, but I mean, what I'm saying is basically, hey, Denver had a great season, you know, went 15-3, makes it to the Super Bowl, you know, and sometimes it just doesn't work out when you're there. It seems like in football, though, you match up, you got one game. It'd been interesting to see a best 2 out of 3 here, you know, like they do in the NBA, or, you know, where they play a 7-game series, yeah, or in Major League Baseball. But in the Super Bowl, we just don't do that in football. But I would be highly unlikely. I mean, Randy, I'll tell you, I was amazed when I watched the first half. The score was 22-0. And the odds makers came out with the second half line, Denver favored by 6.5. I never saw a bigger gift in my life than that. When they came out and said Denver is a 6.5-point favorite, in the second half. I just did not see that with what I saw in the first half.
No.
That possibly that was the correct line on that after watching the first half. I know. I mean, the line for the game was 2.5, and now after you watched them get behind 22-0, now you're going to flip it around. I mean, now Denver's going to Denver's got to play. They're going to get hot. They're going to go into the locker room. They're going to get mad. Well, I got news for you. I mean, the same thing happened in the second half.
Yeah,
it was basically 22-0 halves. Let's be honest about that.
Yeah, that was wishful thinking.
How could you possibly come out and make that line 6.5? I mean, that's people that just love Denver that are there and then trying to want Denver to win, I guess, because I did not see that. I didn't see anything that made me think that Denver was even going to score 6.5 points. They scored 8, so I'm wrong about that. They did get the 6.5 points. They scored 8.
Yeah, they were able to have one drive the entire first half. They really had the one drive, yeah. And then they as you said, they had to go for it or decided to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. That was the one drive. Other than that, you take a look at the physical matchup. Denver lost the physical matchup.
No doubt, Randy.
Offensively and defensively.
Yeah, no doubt that is exactly what happened. And if you can't win that part of the game, if you're not winning that part of the game, this isn't a deal where Denver was driving down the field and fumbled inside the 5, and they pick it up and go 96 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that was not the case. There were some turnovers, but Seattle was the team moving the ball.
Yeah,
Denver wasn't moving the football. I wonder how many Seattle. I mean, I don't even remember this, but Seattle didn't punt a whole lot in the game. You know what I mean? When you look at that type of stuff, and they just didn't do many things incorrect for the game, but there were quite a few more penalties than I thought there'd be in the first half. But other than that, and the other thing too, Denver got off to such a horrible start with the safety. Did that affect them that much? I know in high school, you got to get that stuff out of there. Hey, forget about that. Let's move on. I mean, we're going to spot them these points. You know, we might be down 9-0, before we even get the ball back again, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and they end up being down 5-0, and yeah. you consider that a win for Denver. It's like, as bad as that start was, they can still get back. They had the ball, the chance to be ahead in the football game.
Correct.
So it just it all kind of blew up in their face, and it all kind of snowballed on them as well. But the bottom line is better team won. Better team won. Maybe they weren't better by 35 most games, but I think you take a look at that. Seattle's the better team of the two, and you know what? My opinion. I think the Niners are better than the Seahawks. Well, I really do. I think they're better than the Seahawks. Well, but the Seahawks, because they stole a game earlier in the year, had the home field, and they were able to win, if you remember, kind of on a last-second play at the end of the game.
You know what's interesting? In high school sports, every once in a while you see a state tournament, and the two teams are in the finals, but then they go back and they rank the top 10. Well, it'd be really hard right now. You'd have to still rank Seattle number one.
Agreed.
San Francisco could be number two. You don't even have to leave their conference maybe to find the third best team, the team that controversially did not make the playoffs. You could have three teams in that, and that's the Cardinals, that would be in, 1, 2, and 3 might be in the same league right now, and which is very, very hard to have happen, a lot. But, I mean, even in the other look, they looked at Kansas City and Denver and San Diego of being a pretty good, no one's really talking about these three, but these three might be the best three teams in the NFL right now, first, second, and third right there.
Yeah, in that same division, and it's just, it's incredible. And remember, that was a division that the division champion a few years ago was 7-9. And got into the playoffs, with a losing record. So it all kind of comes back around. And by the way, I think Seattle's window is still open next year. Now, after that, they've got to do some re-signing. And Wilson's going to get that big check that's going to kind of limit them in terms of some other talent that they're going to be able to have. But Russell Wilson is making basically the league minimum right now as the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl champions. And so that allows them a lot of extra money to get a lot of other talent around him. They're going to lose a little bit of that when he gets to get that Flacco money coming up here around the corner. So the door is open for them next year. But I don't think we're going to see those kinds of runs like you had with the Steelers in the 70s or even what the Patriots were able to do over about an 8-9 year stretch where they're always contending for the title. I think it's just going to be very, very difficult to do that. But I think next year Seattle's got a legitimate shot.
I'll tell you, I feel so strong about this today that I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl, but the NFC will win the Super Bowl. I don't know which team's coming from, no. But that side of it is I haven't seen it that much better. And that's what we talked about on the show, why Seattle was the best team. I'm not so sure Seattle's the best team. Like you said, San Francisco might be the best team. But that side of it is the best. Yeah. You know, that conference is way better. And let's take a little break here.
Yeah, I think the top three teams in football are in this same conference, that's for sure. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll continue. In fact, we'll be talking with Doug Duda from the airport in Vegas. We'll talk with Doug and a whole lot more, and we continue right after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper. Today.
Hi, it's the Herd. Building a strong relationship with your team, pretty much the key for any business. Got to meet them and collaborate with your coworkers, your clients, on a regular basis, called communication, to brainstorm and develop quality ideas and solutions. It just works better. Getting everybody in the same place, the same room, these days, impossible. That's why we suggest GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. It's the powerfully simple way to meet in person online from anywhere, anytime. I've used this. Very interesting. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or your mobile device. You can launch your first meeting in seconds. That's all it takes. And you can share the same screen to collaborate on projects in real time. You turn on your webcam, you see everybody face to face. It's powerful, it's simple to meet in person online. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Then use the promo code, my name, Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Colin. GoToMeeting.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
We'll see increasing cloud cover in our forecast today with a high near 29 degrees. And we'll see cloudy conditions and a chance for some snow late tonight with lows down to 16. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Dunaisty. Right now it's 21.
Love the things I never had. I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine. Smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shiny lights. Yeah, a different city every night.
Hello, Bruno Mars for you. We're back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Bruno Mars kind of hit it out of the ballpark last night. Now, we haven't really talked about that at all, but I mean, that was a better performance than the Broncos had. No doubt about that. I mean, I thought the halftime show was awesome.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. I was disappointed in some of the commercials. I thought maybe some of the commercials would be better. Did you have one that stuck out that you thought?
No. I mean, there wasn't any of them that really kind of stood out to me. You know, Bob Dylan kind of sold out a little bit, but that was one of the better ads, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's some American beer that I like pretty good, too.
Jeff, do you have one? Did you have a Super Bowl commercial that you thought was really, really good?
You know, I, as a Denver fan, I wasn't really into the game after, like, about a quarter. But the one that most of my friends were referencing was what was called the cow porn.
Yeah, yeah, that one was a little...
They took the...
That was awkward.
Chevy, maybe.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah, that was probably the one that... And I would say the time machine one with Doritos. That's the one
that was the best one.
That stuck out to me the most.
Yeah, the puppy dog, you know, the dog horse thing. But there was some weird kind of making animals much more sexual than I was really comfortable with for my Super Bowl ads.
The Clydesdale horses, I liked that with the little puppy dog about getting him back home, and they were all kind of, they had him, they were walking him back. I guess that was the one that I liked the best. For some reason, I always have like Clydesdales, whether that one year, I think they were playing football, weren't they, out in the field, kicking field goals, and together, they don't go for too much, or whatever.
Right.
I thought that was kind of good. That one. So anything to do with the Clydesdale, I'm ready for it.
They've done a nice job with that as well. Well, what also, if you're looking for some excellence, then you just need to head to T&L Irrigation. How would you like to control the operation of your pivot system right at home? Well, introducing the T&L Precision Point Control 3 with GPS from T&L Irrigation Systems. The TLPPC3 allows you to control the speed, direction, end gun, and auto stop and start locations with GPS right from your home. The T&L PPC3 combined with T&L's continuously moving hydrostatic power design will give you the assurance of uniform water application, improved crop production, and effective irrigation system management. For more information about this and any of their other products, about the Precision Point Control 3 system or other pivot control management systems from T&L, contact your local T&L dealer or go online to TLIRR.com. That's TLIRR.com. Today, T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. Of course, we talk a lot about the Super Bowl, and in fact, here in just a moment, we're going to talk with Doug Duda, who is awaiting a flight in Las Vegas on his way back home after watching the game there in Vegas. But, obviously, Super Bowl, not the only big event going on. A huge win. Nice come-from-behind win. I saw the halftime score when I was doing a basketball game from McCook, and I just thought, wow, there's just no chance that UNK will come from behind against Emporia State. But that second half, boy, they really dominated, come up with a nice win at home.
Yeah, the point guard, Pearson, hit a couple threes and evidently hit one late in the game. UNK cut it to two, and I think Emporia State dribbled down they're looking for a shot, kind of milking the shot clock down, and the guy stepped out of bounds, and UNK went down and hit a three. But, they play Fort Hays State, and Fort Hays State, I think, is around 20-3. And Fort Hays State won in overtime, also. So they're both coming in off nice overtime wins. It's a Wednesday night. There's not hardly anything going on. This would be a great time, for UNK winning four in a row. This would be something else to really show up, because, UNK and Fort Hays State have had some big games in the past, and this would be nice to have a nice packed house for that one. No doubt about it. And UNK's, come off some couple nice wins, and it's, when you get beat a couple times in overtime or you lose one, compared to winning one, it's really good. So, yeah, great win for them.
And it'd be nice to kind of build on that, because they are playing some pretty good ball right now. And as you mentioned, it's always should be a lot of fun whenever Hays comes into town anyway. And right now, the men's program is really kind of moving in that right direction. They got some new guys coming in, and they're playing some pretty good ball. So that was a huge win. That's a nice shot in the arm for them.
Well, here's the thing of it is, they've got some guys back, had an injury, and they got a kid back that came in from North York Catholic. One thing about UNK, people, they were 5-10. Okay, they could be now 5-14, but they're not. Now they're 9-10. So hats off to them, to say, hey, here we go. Let's get this thing turned around. Let's get back. And we're starting to beat. And they're not beating people that are on their schedule that are 1-17 to do this. They're beating some people pretty good. So, yeah, fun to watch. And even when they're getting beat, they were putting some points up on the board and scoring. And right now, I think that, they're turning around a little bit with their defense. They're playing at both ends of the floor. And that's what they're going to have to do. And they're going to have a tremendous effort from about five different or maybe six different players to come in and play well to knock off four-day state, but it could happen.
Time now to talk to our kind of man on the scene, I guess, in a unique environment, watch the Super Bowl in Vegas, our own Doug Duda. Doug, thanks for joining us. It's good that you survived the game.
Well, I'm guessing that many people in this part of the world didn't. What a deal. I'll tell you what, I thought there was a lot of Seattle Seahawks fans out here on Friday and Saturday, and I found out for sure on Sunday that there was.
They had to be very excited. First play of the game. That's when everything kind of started to unravel right out of the gate. You were in an environment where there was a lot of people watching the game. It just seemed to me that would kind of echo what you would kind of get at the stadium itself in New York, where you really had the feeling that this was not going to go well from the Broncos from the early stages.
Yeah, when you're in the biggest game of your life, you know, for these people, and something like that happens, it immediately puts negative thoughts into your head, and I think you could tell it. And, of course, the reaction here was, I'm sure, just like it was in every living room and sports bar establishment across our listening area, just an incredible gasp. And then, of course, if you were a Seattle fan, an incredible amount of noise. And, you know, the deal is, Randy, I thought, okay, this happens, and Seattle does everything right there in that first quarter, yet it's only 8-0. How many times during the season, whatever level of sport it is, especially when it comes to football, Seattle could have put this away at the end of the first quarter, maybe, you know, score-wise, and they didn't do that. So you had to think, as bad as Denver looked in the first quarter, that they're going to be able to do something, and it didn't look like they pressed. It just looked like they weren't able to do anything.
Yeah, it was the same. I exactly felt the same thing. You're going to have to get your flight here, I think. I thought the exact same thing. I just thought it's going to all unravel, but then they're down only 8-0 at the end of the quarter, and you're like going, you know what? They're a play away, and they got a quarterback. They got an offense that's been able to do that all season long. Was there a sense you kind of got from the large crowd where they go, everybody started looking at each other like going, no, it's not going to happen?
Yeah, you know, everybody was just waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to happen, and just everybody kept looking around. Even Seattle fans couldn't believe that their team was doing this well. But it was over on the first play of the third quarter. I mean, that's when it's officially over. I still think a lot of people at halftime thought that there was a way Peyton Manning, being as great as he was, would bring this back. And again, watching all the pregame, you know, that I saw, which wasn't obviously every single minute, but every time a national analyst made a prediction, they said, Seattle's great, but Peyton Manning's greater. Well, he wasn't yesterday. If you go back and you think about it, if you watched any of the pregame stuff and you go back and look at it, that's what everybody was saying. It was Peyton Manning. It wasn't Denver. And something that reared its ugly head again yesterday was how bad Denver's defense is. How bad Denver's defense was, and it came right out and showed it yesterday. And that caused it as much as anything. I mean, they did stop them those field goals early, but in the end, their defense was just as bad as their offense.
Well, to me, what was the biggest downfall for them on both sides of the ball was their offensive line. Because, you know, Manning, every time he dropped back to throw, he got hit, ended up having a couple of passes deflected, one of them on fourth down. The other one was the interception that turns into the defensive touchdown. You know, he just didn't have time to make anything happen. And he's not going to scramble and get away from things. He needs to have at least a little bit of time to make a throw.
Well, and he still had a, you know, you still look at his line. I mean, he had a pretty good line for a quarterback that threw a couple of interceptions, one where he got his arm hit. But, I mean, here's what it came down to yesterday, Randy, how bad the game was. I mean, in my opinion, Peyton Manning, who many of us think could be the greatest quarterback of all time, in a game that is decided on a fourth down and two, can't complete a wide-open five-yard pass. He underthrows his receiver on fourth down. I mean, that just showed that all the air had been sucked out of him. No matter how much they wanted to try and come back, it was over. I mean, he was roughed up yesterday that he couldn't complete a wide-open five-yard pass over the middle, and that just showed you how Seattle shook him down, rattled him up, and, you know, I think Seattle definitely, there's a lot of stats out there today. They're comparing this team to, you know, the youngest team to win a Super Bowl goes back to those teams that ended up being dynasties, the Steelers, the San Francisco 49ers, 81, the Steelers in 74. They went on to dominate the 70s and the 80s, and a lot of people already want to compare them to Tom Brady and New England dominating. I mean, if you're Seattle, and of course they'll start talking about all the free agents and people they got to sign, but, you know, Seattle came through this year, and they're really, really good, and they're at 5-1 to win it all next year. Those are the early lines out here, and Denver is at 5-1. I wouldn't put a red cent on Denver, not one red cent. I mean, they got a lot of work to do on defense. Doesn't matter how good Peyton Manning is. I think that was proven yesterday. They might win 13, 14 games a year. They're not going to beat Seattle. They're not going to beat them next week. They're not going to beat them a year from now.
So are you putting money on Seattle? Are you making that call right now? Are you putting money on Seattle next year?
No, because it's too tough in this day and age to win back-to-back. There's too many factors now, Randy. you know, back even, you know, when we talk about the Steelers and the 49ers, you know, you talk about Dallas, you talk about the Dolphins are one of the teams when they went back to back that were young like this. There's way too many people want their money. There's going to be people leave Seattle for more money when they could stay there and probably win another championship. There's too many factors in this day and age, and it's way tougher to repeat or get a dynasty together. I think Seattle's going to be great. They're not my prediction to win the Super Bowl. The NFC looks like it's got some teams out there. New Orleans and Green Bay, I think, are the two teams that are kind of right behind them in the odds that came out last night. Not that I like them, and I'm not going to do the early Super Bowl prediction until later in the week. But, no, I wouldn't take Seattle, wouldn't take Denver. I don't think either one of them will be there next year.
So how was your environment to watch the game? I mean, you were in a large sports bar, you know, the huge screens, that sort of thing. What was that environment like for you?
It was fun. This is the second time we got to do it. And, of course, Mike Perenio, Mandalay Bay, our friend here on the Doug and Daddy Show, takes care of us, and we had a good environment. And it's just cool to be around tons of people that, you know, have an interest in the game, maybe more so than, like the one commercial said yesterday, well, most of you aren't Seattle or Denver fans, so you're here on a different rooting interest. So it was a pretty cool environment. It's more than just watching it at, you know, Bullseyes or Cunningham's or any of our local sporting establishments that we like to frequent from time to time. I mean, it's fun, but, you know, you're talking hundreds, thousands of people. Pretty cool. Even in the blowout, that was the only disappointing thing, because when the game's not on the line, there's not as much edge to it in the second half where people are riding on every play, because after that touchdown yesterday to Percy Harvin's kick return, kind of the amazement factor had set in and nobody knew what to think, and you just kind of watched the second half because you knew it was over.
Well, one of the favorite prop bets people have is, will there or won't there be a safety? And that was answered on the very first play from scrimmage. I had to imagine that the environment was rather electric when that happened.
Yeah, Uncle Mark Cuban, I called him, and he has not returned my call because, in case you missed it, on that play yesterday, and apparently confirmed with a bet through the Luxor, won $20 million. Mark Cuban, you know, who needed it. So he can have all the fines he wants now from the new NBA commissioner. 50, 60 to 1 was what that kind of paid off, and I know a couple people that had it. Not me.
So how was it for you? Was it a profitable weekend for you? Or a profitable game?
If you enjoy this environment, then you enjoy this environment. I mean, I came out here to watch the game, had a good time.
Well,
you know, it is a working vacation. You know that, right?
Yeah, that was a lot of work. That was excruciating. Because of this phone call, now you get to deduct this from your taxes as a business expense. So you're welcome.
That is so awesome. So I save another 13 cents. Thanks, man.
There you go. There's that.
Now it's back to the real world where we get to watch some good Fort Kearney Lou Platt Conference Tournament basketball this week.
Yeah, it all starts tonight on Classic Hits 98.9, and we'll have games all week on both of our stations. So we'll talk, obviously, more about that here in a little bit. You've got a plane to catch, so I'll get out of your hair.
Hey, sounds great. Look forward to being back in studio tomorrow, and then our recruiting special coming up on the weekend, and we're going to have a special recruiting show Wednesday with UNK. We're going to be down at Cunningham's for a couple hours, get a chance to talk to the coaches, get a chance to maybe even talk to some of the signees from early on Wednesday morning. Always an exciting day, so I got a special show Wednesday, and looking forward to that. So you take it home from here.
All right. Hey, thanks, Doug. Safe travels.
Thanks, buddy.
So there's our man on the scene there, Doug Duda. And, yeah, he touched on a couple of things that we need to talk about as we kind of move forward here. Special day Wednesday with National Letter of Intent signing day. We'll spend a lot of time, obviously, talking about the Huskers as well. We'll spend about 2 hours really talking about college football recruiting and everything else that is happening on Wednesday as well. As he mentioned, we'll be 11-1 at Cunningham's Journal as we'll be taking a look at it. And we'll have the Husker coaches joining us during that time from 11-1. We'll also obviously talk about Nebraska recruiting. They had a nice weekend. They had Junior Day, had some good signing that took place there, so we'll talk more about that. And, of course, the Lou Platt Conference Tournament. We have games starting tonight, Kearney Catholic and Centura. And then we'll be in Ravenna, both the boys and girls hosting a couple of games. We don't know who those opponents are yet because they're still bunny bracket games, essentially, are being played tonight. So we'll find out their opponents for both the girls and the boys. for Tuesday, and then we'll have the semifinals on Thursday, semifinals on Friday, and then championship games, consolation games on Saturday, and it's kind of the same schedule. We'll pick it up Thursday and Friday with the semifinals of the Fort Kearney Conference Tournament coming up from the Viero Event Center Thursday and Friday, and then, of course, the championship games, consolation games on Saturday as well. So a lot of basketball coming up here, and they're not the only conferences, obviously, in action. You know, Twin Valley Conference is in full swing as well. So there's a lot of great high school basketball going on this week as well.
Yeah, you know, Holdridge ended up winning, the girls won the Central 10 last week. They beat Grand Island Northwest, and those two teams last year, you know, they were in the district finals together, and both teams made it to state last year, you know, so that was a very competitive game, and Holdridge played fairly well in the fourth quarter and just made a lot of free throws down the stretch and ended up pulling away, and then York beat Seward, you know, in the Central 10 final, and I think York's only lost one game this year, but I could be wrong about that. I think Central Catholic got them early, and, you know, Central Catholic's in a really tough conference. You know, they got a conference with St. Cecilia Wahoo. They're all ranked in the top, about five or six teams are ranked in the top five in that conference, and, you know, number one versus number two, and they're all playing each other. You know, you could be ranked in the top 10, and you don't even get out of your bunny bracket, you know, in that conference. That is really a tough conference. But, yeah, the Luplat Conference girls, I mean, Kearney Catholic will be the favorite in that. In the boys, I mean, there's eight or 10 teams. Well, there's 10 teams in it, but there's eight teams that have knocked off state-ranked teams. I mean, so what you talk about, a very competitive group. I think the Fort Kearney Conference Girls Tournament is wide open.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Elm Creek and Overton, somebody's going to have to get through them, and Amherst could. Axtell's beaten Amherst. You know, those two, somebody's got to get through them, and Wilcox Hildreth has had a good season, too. But it's going to be really, really tough for somebody to knock off one of those two.
I had the pleasure of doing the game in Elwood, Overton and Elwood. The boys' game came down to a last-second shot, and I was thinking of that game when you kind of mentioned that you get those points whenever you get the opportunity. You said that about the Super Bowl, because that's pretty much what Jay Stair from Overton said to us in our post-game after the game was over, because they were down by two, got fouled, so they were at the free-throw line to shoot a couple of free throws.
You said Elwood, you mean Elm Creek, right?
I meant to say Elm Creek.
Right.
And they hit a couple of free throws. They had two free throws, a chance if they hit both free throws that they'd be able to tie it with I don't know, 9 seconds left, something like that. Well, the young man missed the first free throw. There's a timeout, and I asked Jay now, the strategy was maybe you miss it in a certain way and you get the ball, and then you get an opportunity. He says, no, you take points when you get them. So they got the free throw. They had to commit a foul because they didn't make the steal. So now they're down by three, but then they got a great look. They did. They got a great look at the buzzer, and I'm telling you, it was maybe an inch too long, hit the back of the iron. Had it been an inch shorter, it might have just scoped on the bottom of that iron on the way in, because he had a great look at it. So we were an eyelash away from that game going to overtime, and that game was played so well, we probably deserved to have an overtime. So again, in the Fort Kearney Conference, it's probably those two teams, odds-on favorite to win their side of the bracket and get back together on Saturday. And
you know, another thing, Class D1 and D2 girls basketball and boys basketball is, you know, sometimes it's who doesn't have the flu that week, you know, the illnesses, because, you know, you lose one or two players like there, and, you know, there's a chance for some upsets, too, because when you're missing some players or somebody gets in foul trouble, it's unlike, you know, in Class A where you bring somebody right off the bench and, you know, they're a senior coming in for a senior. A lot of times you lose a senior that's a pretty good player, and you got a young freshman that's going to come in and take his spot. So, you know, staying out of foul trouble and things like that would be very critical to win those tournaments and stay healthy.
Yeah, and foul trouble did come into play a little bit in that game as well, so you're absolutely right about that. It all kind of boils down into that health as well. So we're excited about all those games, and we'll talk more about that here as we'll take another break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show when we come back right after this.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
If you haven't heard yet, postage rates, oh, they've changed again. You know what that means? The post office is even more crowded than usual. That's why you need Stamps.com. You'll eliminate those time-consuming trips to the post office. It's only about 3 miles from where I live, but man, from the time you park to the time you get stuff done takes forever. Everything you can do with the post office, hey, you can do now from your desk with Stamps.com. You can buy and print real postage, any letter, any package, and you use your own computer and printer. The postage rate updates automatically at Stamps.com. You get the exact postage you need the instant you need it. And never go to the post office again. You been there lately? No thanks. Right now, use my name, Colin, for a special offer. No risk, plus a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the mic, top of the homepage, type in Colin. That's Stamps.com, enter Colin. If you haven't heard, postage rates have changed again. You know what that means? Go to Stamps.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see increasing cloud cover in our forecast today with a high near 29 degrees. And we'll see cloudy conditions and a chance for some snow late tonight with lows down to 16. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Dunaisty. Right now it's 21.
I almost hate to interrupt the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, as good as Bruno Mars was, we needed more Chili Peppers, I thought, in the halftime show. That was good.
No comment.
You know, here's the funniest thing for me, the entire Super Bowl. I had this thought immediately, you know. First of all, Joe Namath's coat, okay? I think it was still alive. I'm not real sure. I think they released it back into the wild today. I'm not sure. But love the coat, and that was great. But he forgot to ask anybody heads or tails. So when he flips the coin, his opening toss was intercepted, you know, because like, they had to grab it midair. The opening toss, you know.
Who grabbed that thing?
Well, the official did. It was like, no. No one called it. So he grabbed it. That was funny. That was just, you Joe. Know. Joe Namath got intercepted on the coin toss.
That's good.
Only Joe.
Hey, that'd have been funny. No coin toss winner. Who's going to win it? Who's going to win? No, there'll be no coin toss winner.
That's the problem.
He just wanted to flip the thing. That's good. Hey, you know, this is kind of funny. I mean, not that, but I think it was 1997, I refereed the first six-man state championship game played in Memorial Stadium. And it was the first high school game ever played in Memorial Stadium. And it was a six-man game, but the media had kind of got pretty excited. And I was excited to do it, don't get me wrong. And I was really nervous just being there. And all of a sudden, I'm getting ready to do the coin toss. And Tim Higgins, a friend of mine, said, hey, Bill Lewis forgot to give this to you. It's a commemorative coin. They want to use this. I'm going to put it in the NSAA office. I said, oh, okay. And he handed it to me. And at the same time, I'm getting ready to do the flip. Here comes, like, you know, I don't know, you know, NBC, CBS. I mean, they're like, I could make it up. But, I mean, there was about 8 or 10 TVs that were out, you know, doing this thing. So now I'm talking in front of them. You know, and I remember I did pretty good with introducing the captains and everything. And I go, it was Milligan was playing. And I go, Milligan, you're the visiting team. Go ahead and call it in the air. And I flipped the coin and caught it. And they called heads. And I looked at the coin and I had no idea. It was like the state capitol was built, was on one side. You know, I looked at it and I go,
Heads it is. You've won the toss. And I didn't want to reflip it. So, you know, but I thought, wow, I'll tell you what, you get a little nervous there. So I imagine Joe Namath's got, he knows a few people are watching this. Might be a little hard to forget, hey, who's going to call it in the air? Yeah, so.
Well,
yeah.
I kind of nodded to him to step up. And he's like, so he stepped up and flipped it all in one motion. It's like, not yet. But I love the jacket. That was a lot of fun. You know, it's just kind of when you watch the game, and I watched it with some friends, and there was lots of food there, and just kind of a good time. To me, there's as much build up for the commercials as there was for the game itself, you know. And then, like we said, some commercials just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think Maserati builds cars. I'm not real sure from their ad. I think they do. I'm relatively sure, but it was like 2 minutes of great drama, and I had no idea what the product was. And then at the end, it's like, you know, Maserati. I don't even know what their slogan was. I mean, it was just like, wow. And that was a 2 minute long commercial, so that cost them like $4 million. For Maserati builds cars or whatever the heck it is. I don't even know. It's like, yeah, well, of course, then again, it's a Maserati. They only have to sell three.
Yeah,
you know, they'll get their money back if they sell three of them.
Yeah, sell three more of them, and maybe put some pretty good tires on there, and we'll see what will happen.
And we had to explain to some people. We had some younger people with us as well. We had to explain to people that occasionally the Super Bowl is not a great game. Occasionally it does turn into a game where a team wins by more than a touchdown. Because it's been a while since that was the case. The last time it was more than a one-possession game was when New Orleans won, but they had that last-second defensive touchdown. I mean, so it was a seven-point game in the final minute and a half or whatever. But you have to go back to about 2006 when Pittsburgh beat Seattle 21-10, that it just really didn't come down to the very end of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing of it is what's interesting, too, is the fact that the NCAA football game went down to the wire. It was so exciting, you know, the build up, you know, how exciting that game was. And, I'm talking about the Florida State Auburn game this year, how exciting that was. And we've had a couple of those things in NCAA basketballs in the finals, too. And in the NBA, you know, the Heat, you know, had to hit that shot in game six, you know, to just keep playing. So we've had some really exciting finishes in some of the other sports. And this one just didn't live up to it at all.
No. And that's going to happen. I mean, it's not scripted, you know, so you can't write the script, so you don't know what it's going to be. Our Midtown Mart cooler question for the day, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. What will you remember most about outgoing NBA Commissioner David Stern, who ended his tenure basically this weekend? Your options are the growth of the league and or globalization, the 99 and 2011 lockouts, the creation of the draft lottery, or the Tim Donaghy scandal. And I can't remember what you said on Friday when we talked about this.
No one asked me, but if that was, you know, no one asked me that. We just got to forget I'm here sometimes.
You're here to make us money, Jim. You're here to make us money.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, good. Now that's good to know.
What are your thoughts?
I think the lottery was kind of interesting because in no other sport do you, do you play, but what they were afraid, you know, teams were going to intentionally lose games when you have somebody like Lou Alcindor out there, you know, going, hey, you know what, you know, if we lose this game intentionally and we will go 19 wins instead of 18 wins, this is a big difference because, you know, the other guys, you know, you get Pembroke Burroughs, you know, played for Jacksonville and didn't make it very well. Or you get Lou Alcindor over here, going to be a franchise builder. I mean, everybody's going, I think we'll take this game. Shaquille O'Neal, there's been some guys that people could, you know, kind of say, we'll take this guy real. We want him right now. So and that's what basically what happened. So then you still had a chance. You know, you have a 1-16 chance or whatever that is, you know, and some of them have an 8-16 chance.
Yeah,
I don't even know how many balls are in there now. I mean, they changed it a little bit, but
they
the
keep
lottery,
it.
Yeah, but the lottery thing, and then not only that, it's a night where people come in and they watch it and gives the NBA a little more media attention.
Yeah, you're right. Right. They do that during the NBA playoffs. And as much as I like that, I the majority of voters, 43%, well, not the majority of them, but the plurality of the voters, thought that the growth of the league, globalization, you know, putting teams, Vancouver doesn't have a team anymore, but they put a team in Toronto as well, and they're broadening the base of who they will select as players. The globalization got 43% of the vote. Right behind it was the 99 and 2011 lockouts, and then the creation of the lottery with you, and then the Tim Donaghy scandal, the official that was point shaving and that sort of thing. That one finished with only 7% of the vote.
Do you guys remember back in the day with the lottery, the Patrick Ewing scandal, and how he supposedly, you know, had picked that one, all the conspiracies as well? Going back to the growth of the league, added 7 teams, the globalization, you would think Yao Ming first comes to mind there as well. We also had the 92 Dream Team, the radical dress code, making all the, what was quote, a black league, wear all these suit and ties.
Business attire. They made him wear business attire.
Yep, yeah. And then the Sonics leaving Seattle also got a couple of emails in. So
quite
a different range there for David Stern, 30 years as commissioner.
And nobody likes your commissioner. Nobody likes the commissioner of your league. Nobody likes them. I mean, talk about a job where your job is to be hated by most people. You know, who's a popular commissioner? There isn't one, is there?
Well, probably not. I mean, but you're exactly right. The thing of it is, you have to make so many decisions, and you have to make a decision. And so, if you have to make 20 decisions, and 17 of them somebody agrees with you on, but those 3 that you made, they did not agree. You've made those 3 that group mad. Well, earlier you've already made another group mad. You made another group mad. So that's the gist of it. You have to make so many decisions about what you're going to do and what you're going to go. So could you imagine if just in the Olympics, when people get on a committee and they go, okay, now where do you want to have this Olympics at? Where are we going to have them, in London or Salt Lake City? You have to make a decision. Well, do you think the people in London, when as soon as you say, hey, Salt Lake City gets it, you think they're going, well, that sounds fair. You know, let's be honest. I mean, you've made people mad when you had to make just that one decision. So that's the trouble with the commissioner. He's had to make some decisions about, hey, what we're going to do and how we're going to make this correct. Like you said, hey, suit and a tie. Atera, okay. What's your feeling of it? Me, I didn't care. That wouldn't bother me one iota whether or not a guy had a tie on or not, where he gets on an airplane and he goes to a game. Other people, they think that's the most important thing. I talk to them at the YMCA. I'll walk in and they go, well, I'll tell you what, at least he had a suit and tie on. I mean, unbelievable. That was important. Go ahead.
I think a lot of the hatred comes from maybe the strikes and the lockouts is for you're preventing us from watching our game. So Stern had
blaming them.
Sturm had 2 lockouts. Goodell had, they avoided it, but they had basically a lockout in the off season. The NHL has had 2 lockouts as well. So they just get this negativity. And then C League, he hadn't had a lockout since 94, but the tie game, that tie all-star game, that's where I think his popularity started to tank as well. So I think that's where the hatred comes for these commissioners.
Bettman gets booed vehemently when he hands out the Stanley Cup. I mean, he can hardly even do his little spiel there because he gets booed so much because of the lockout.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing of it is, you know, when Barry Bonds broke Hank Aaron's record in Major League Baseball, you talk about a no-win situation.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's playing. You know, everybody...
Innocent until proven guilty.
Right. But you remember how racist the people were when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Atlanta didn't even fill the stadium that night. Atlanta didn't even sell it out. The Atlanta, you know, Braves didn't even... Amazing, you know. So, and then you get into Barry Bonds and the drugs, and then he had a little thing, I don't know if you remember it or not, but, hey, congratulations, Barry. He wasn't there. You know, he just did a little thing. There was a thing, and they put it over the video, and so you could kind of watch it, you know, before that. But he kind of got a heads up, you know, with when Sammy Sosa and McGuire had their home runs, you know, that one, yeah, that competition. I think they both had about 250 home runs apiece that year, 73 and 71 or whatever it was. But it was that was all set up, and it was felt very well thought out. But you still were not going to please people in any way you handle that.
No, and you mentioned in 74 when Aaron hit that, he was about 3 or 4 short of tying the record.
He was one short one the year short before, tied it in Cincinnati, and then hit the 715th.
In the second series of the year, it probably was.
Yeah, then. Against Al Downey. I don't remember it that well. It was against Al Downey.
Yeah, I remember
44.
That they broke in. I was watching regular TV, and they broke in for his at-bats. you know, on whatever channel I was watching. I remember which network it was, but I remember as a kid watching that.
They
actually did that. That was that big of a deal. What was your favorite part of this year's Super Bowl is today's Midtown Mark Cooler question. Obviously, your favorite part of the Super Bowl, one of the options would be the game. The other would be the commercials. The other is the halftime show. And we have other. And you can email your answer to the Doug and Daddy Show. And so let us know what your favorite part of the Super Bowl was. If you're a Seahawks fan, I think I know which one you will choose. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. We'll return to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We come back right after this.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Valentine's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing deal. One dozen red roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5555. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. The price of roses will skyrocket next week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. Plus, pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. One dozen stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $29.99, and will include a free vase with every order. Remember, the price of roses can double, even triple next week, and this incredible deal expires this Friday. The price of red roses will not be this low for long, so don't wait. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5555. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5555.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
55 years ago today is the moment that inspired the song, the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly dying in the plane crash.
Does that happen today, 55 years ago
55
today?
55 years ago today. Here's the...
February 3rd, what year would have that been? I'm with my math.
59, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think it would have been 59. Here's the thing that's interesting. The young cub reporter that worked at the local radio station that actually confirmed who was on the plane and officially broke the story was a young cub reporter by the name of Bob Bowie.
Is that right?
Bob Bowie was the first reporter on the scene, the late Bob Bowie from Channel 5 and from NTV, good friend of mine. And I think of every time I hear that song, I think of that story, I think of Bob, and I miss him every day. So.
And he was the one that
he broke that story.
And where was he living at that time?
It was in Iowa, Clear Lake, Iowa. And it wasn't Clear Lake, the town that he was in. And he told me what it was, and I can't remember what it was. But it was one of the local radio stations there. And so he was working, and he's the guy that broke the story. Probably not the story you really want to break, but that was the story that he...
Yeah, what a story, though.
Yeah, it certainly was one of those monumental moments, especially if you're a music fan. Don't forget to head on down to the Midway Auto Dealerships, the Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, and Cadillac. Every day, low hassle prices on 500 vehicles that they have available for you right now. And if you can't find it there, if one of those 500 isn't exactly what you want, just let them know. They'll be able to track it down and get it for you. And don't forget that their Midway Certified Program with a year of oil changes, they get a 6-month, 60,000-mile warranty on your vehicle and a 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty as well. Also, everyone gets free car washes with the purchase as long as you have the vehicle, which is obviously very nice, getting that salt and grime off your car this time of year, especially with the snow that is predicted to come here in the next couple of days. Just give them a look for the new cars, for used cars. They'll get you taken care of at Midway on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it is a better way. So the Super Bowl, we got some high school basketball. I want to remind you that on Wednesday we'll be at Cunningham's in partnership with UNK, as we'll have National Letter of Intent Signing Day. We'll probably extend the show from about 11 to 1 o'clock, and a great opportunity for us to talk about the recruiting that UNK has been able to put together. Obviously, we'll talk about Nebraska football as well. So don't forget, 11 to 1 on Wednesday, we'll be at Cunningham's for National Letter of Intent Signing Day. And we'll get a good idea of what they're going to have coming up down the road. And Nebraska did very well recruiting over the weekend. Got some big signings. Some stuff that we talked about with Brian Munson actually came to fruition over the weekend as well. So Nebraska down the stretch has really had a nice little run here getting some recruits signed.
Yeah, it sounded like they did get the quarterback from Georgia by the Omaha World Herald, and then the defensive end from Alabama, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the two that, you know,
At least the young man tweeted that. I don't know how official a tweet is, but generally they will stick to that once they get it on that social media.
Okay, good deal.
It's a little different animal today when this day and age when you send out your tweet.
I don't get it.
And I'm on Twitter, and I really enjoy it. You had some games over the weekend, some good high school basketball. This is a fun time of year for high school basketball.
Yeah, it is. The crowds are pretty excited, and you know that's exactly right. You know, we forgot to talk about the Southwest Conference. I think Cozad won, and I think the men and girls won. You know, the Southwest Conference champion. So yeah,
yeah, that was a nice couple of wins for both of those two programs. Congratulations to them, and of course, Menin remains undefeated on the season. And Cozad, generally, they've had a fair amount of success with athletics here down the stretch.
Yes, they have.
They've got some pretty good athletes as well. Don't forget, on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9 FM tonight, we'll have Centura and Kearney Catholic, essentially a play-in game for the Luplac Conference Tournament, and we'll have Luplac Conference quarterfinals from Ravenna, both boys and girls, tomorrow night as well. And don't forget that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll have Fort Kearney Conference basketball right here on ESPN. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Randy, I enjoyed the last 2 days. We're getting along pretty good. Yeah. You and I used to do this. I didn't know how it was going to go. I mean, we were definitely, you know, not quite up to Doug's expectations. But I think now he's just happy we were here so we could go to Vegas.
Yeah, we got to pinch hit whenever you got to go pinch hit. All right, thanks for joining us. Doug will be back tomorrow. Join us tomorrow on Tuesday's Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.